I am vengeance. I am the night. I am that man.
Batman.
Batman.
There is a song the good folks sing.
Song the good folks sing.
Batman, about a hero on the wing.
Hero on the wing.
Batman.
I am Gotham's darkest night, the villain's darkest fright. Turn on the signal light
for Batman.
Batman.
You hate me, don't you?
Lighten up, it's your birthday.
Don't remind me.
Good work, Cape Crusader. Once again, you've saved our fair city from those vile miscreants.
They were no problem, Commissioner. For as we all know, criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot. They plan and plot, but they always get caught.
Their evil schemes all come to naught. A superstitious, cowardly lot.
Come on, it took me weeks to get tickets for this show. It's Shway.
It's Schwarbage.
Excuse me. One side, please. Move!
A superstitious, cowardly lot. They plan and plot, but they always get caught. Their evil schemes all come to naught. A superstitious, cowardly lot.
All right, folks, now that you've heard the Batman play, before we get to Legends of the Dark Knight, episode 35, just want to let everybody know there's only 5 episodes left of this podcast, so you better email your feedback in, whether it's MP3 or just written emails, feedback@geekcastradio.com. We are ending the show at episode 40, as Steve has said before, so you've got 5 episodes to get your feedback in. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure to Neo Gotham is...
Dave Sherman Mike, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. We are getting close to the end. I'm not saying that to be, like, evil. I'm just saying...
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Saying that genuinely.
Yes.
If it's another show, I'd be saying that sarcastically.
The other show we're cheating on at least one of the episodes, so
one or two. I mean, but yeah, I mean, there's only, if you include this one, there's only five episodes left.
Yeah, and we started this. Math. I hate math. Oh,
I'm just
going to
go through the schedule, and it started 10:30.
3 years ago. Yep.
It would have been done sooner, like last year.
It probably would have been done in 2012 if we
would have busted through it.
Yeah.
Oh well, we needed a break, a breather.
Yeah, because you know, as much as I love BTAS, there are some horrible episodes in that series.
Well, there's really some horrible episodes in every one of the DCAU.
That's true.
Most
people praise BTAS and as you know, as it deserves, but like going through episode by episode, it just my God, there are some where it's like, I just don't care. Get it over with already. But yeah, what's funny with getting to Beyond and doing the Beyond episodes is, I wish I'd actually written half this crap down beforehand, but I didn't. I should remember most of it. With this episode, with episode 35, we've got inside here, we've got the episode Inkling, and that's all about Ink and her daughter, Deanna. Deanna Clay, of all things.
Clayface's granddaughter?
I don't know.
Could be.
I mean, she does kind of resemble Annie a little bit from Growing Pains, the episode where Robin found this girl, Annie, and turns out it was just a piece of Clayface. But anyway, what is so great about us getting Inkling now is on Batman Beyond 2.0, the comic digital comic book series, Kyle Higgins, Tony Silas, and the rest of that team, Kyle Higgins, Alex Siegel, Tony Silas, and the rest of the art team, just started a brand new story arc that involves Ink coming into the comic. So there's that. And as I've watched the episodes we're going to talk about this week and the ones we're going to talk about next time in episode 36, I've noticed so many things that Kyle has taken from this series. Not necessarily taken as in stolen from it, but so many things that he's called back to in his run. And it's just so good. Everybody go out and check out Batman Beyond 2.0 by Kyle Higgins. It's amazing. What else is going on with you?
Not much. Just working on a couple side projects. And went back to school.
Yay, school!
One of the classes I'm more excited for than the others, which is kind of surprising which one. But I'm taking three, so.
Awesome. For me, I've been bringing TV back to the GCRN. and no, it will not be a video show, people. But we are starting... I've actually had this idea for about a year, and I've told this story on another podcast to this point. I know Steve is sick of hearing of it. I wanted Steve to make a podcast art that was a giant GCRN remote control. So the new TV podcast we're going to have, along with the telecast, is called Remote Control, and it will handle any and all TV series from 2000 to whenever now is. The cool thing about this is that part of Remote Control, we're doing a set of episodes or a series of episodes called Season Pass, where we take a look, instead of going episode by, instead of having, you know, 9 to 20 different TV, like show-specific review shows that go episode by episode, we're going to take a look at one season of a show. You know, watch the entire season, take your notes, come here, you know, come wherever we are and sit down and talk about it. And that'll be an episode of the podcast. Well, the coolest thing about this is Kevin and I, Optimus Solo, are teaming up, and anything that started before 2000 and ended after or during the year 2000 will be telecast, remote control, crossovers. So that's what I've been pretty much doing. This week, the pull bag, somebody stole the pull bag. I don't know what happened. I think Shredder made off with it. Or maybe it was Joker in the Batmobile. I don't know. Hmm. But the pull bag, sadly, probably will not have an episode this week. Considering the content I've put out in the last 2 years, you know, a week off isn't going to kill us. Plus, it allows people to catch up on everything that I've put out in the last 2 years. Let's see, what else am I going on? I brought back Tooncast Beyond with the animation direction spotlight, so that's going on. we are probably not going to get to TFG2 at this point. I don't even know if we're going to get to TF Primetime honestly, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I love the brand, it's time for me to take a Transformers break. I love the brand. I love the cartoons. I'm excited for the new one, but I need to do something else for a while.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mind with that show. I'm ready for it to go for a while. Yeah. Away.
Yes. Other than that, I mean, I'm trying. I've got a whole lot of crap happening in my personal life that just is not worth mentioning on air, but just a lot of stress in real life, which real life sucks, let's face it. But I'm like, I don't know, a month and a half behind on certain things and everything else, which is, you know me, normally I'm, 2 years ahead of everything.
But
sadly, that's not been the case the last 3.5 months.
So let's get out of the past and into the beyond.
Yes. We'll be going back to the past later, too.
I know. I figured that was good. Bad quote.
Coming up, we are untouchable.
Get a load of the freak in the Long Johns.
You really haven't been in Gotham long, have you, kid? Halt, or we'll shoot!
Soup is hot enough to turn your arm to ash.
It's all right. I brought protection. You'll excuse me if I don't stay to chat. But I've got to deliver this while it's still hot. Nice try, but you're playing with fire, Batman.
First up is Untouchable. It depicts the appearance of the Repeller. I could go into that. But anyways, a strange villain appears in Gotham, stealing isotopes from various locations. Batman is instantly after him, but discovers that the man is surrounded by a force field that can't be penetrated by anything. Meanwhile, Terry finds a new interest in Irene, a girl who has an immune deficiency and therefore has to wear a belt projecting a field very much like the Repeller's.
Mm-hmm.
He almost looks like a cross between Mr. Freeze, like the new mm-hmm. new adventures, and like Electro from Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm. Now, you remember, it's been a while, but you remember that very first story arc that Kyle did when he started called Rewire?
Yep. Almost the same suit.
I asked Kyle on Twitter, as of this recording, did he get any inspiration from the Repeller to make Rewire? Because they're pretty much, they have the same power set as far as electricity. Kyle hasn't answered me, but
I smell hidden story.
Yeah. At least with Kyle's story, the Repeller, or with Kyle's story, Rewire, it's done much better because of, it's done better than this. It's not just the other doctor's assistant kind of thing.
Yeah, because the joke's on you, but I'm full of bad puns tonight. I'll be
yes.
here all night.
Yes, you are. I don't know. This is one of the episodes I have a huge problem with. Okay, sure. There was a while ago where Terry and Dana were broken up, and that's when Terry met Melanie, a.k.a. 10 of the Royal Flush Gang. I didn't so much have a problem. Like, I don't mind if Terry and Dana are specifically broken up and Terry seeing somebody else. But, I mean, Terry was, like, balls to the wall for this girl the entire episode. I'm like, dude, you have a damn girlfriend. It shouldn't be this goddamn complicated. It's, I mean, Dana didn't say they should take a break. She just kind of walked off. It's not like they broke up in this episode. And then all of a sudden, come to find out at the end of this, Irene is dating or seeing this other kid that also has one of these, you know, he's one of these kids in this program. It's like, dude, seriously? Come on, Terry, get your head in the game.
He's thinking of one thing only.
Yeah.
It's not a batarang.
No, I know. Did you notice a certain city reference in this episode?
To which city are we referring?
Bloodhaven. Dang, if only we could have seen and run into an old Grayson. But Bruce did say Bloodhaven. That would have been awesome if we could have seen an old Dick Grayson in this.
They had quite a few opportunities to show him in this, and they never did.
Yeah, no. So she Irene calls Terry's house. When did he give her his number? I honestly do not remember him giving her a card, you know, that says, "Hey, I'm Terry McGinnis." And how did she get his damn number? And I love that scene though, where with Matt and his friend, Terry's younger brother. Matt just like, yeah, okay, sure. Hey, did you see that? That was the best part. Just goes back to watching whatever he's watching on TV. I love Matt. I knew it was the assistant all along. I mean, that wasn't anything. That it wasn't super predictable, but it was like, okay, it's either going to be Irene, the doctor, or the assistant. You know, I thought that was, so there's that. I do like this exchange between Terry and Bruce. I had written this down. Anything broken? If I said yes, can I go home? No. This isn't a bad episode, but it's very generic. I would say if I was going to call it bad, it's like bad on Terry as a character. It's like, oh my, like he forgot who the hell he was and what he's supposed to be doing. At this point, if, you know, if they had Facebook at this time, his relationship status would be, it's complicated. Because, like, the dude just can't, I don't know, whatever.
It'd be plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one.
What'd you think of this one?
I didn't think it was too bad. There definitely have been weaker ones, so I can't give this one any hate. And they did touch upon different subjects with this, with the immune deficient girl. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of figured it was going to be the one doctor, just because you typically have one that's kind of over the top, and then you have the other one that's like, no, blah, blah, blah. And then it's always that one. They want you to think it's the enraged one, but it's not.
Yeah.
I also find it funny that the beta sterilium looks like the TGRI mutagen.
Mm-hmm.
It's green.
Yeah, that's very true.
They stole it from turtles.
Oh man. I do love the quote between the two guards, because it reminds me so much of the Nolan films, where you have the young cop and the old cop.
Oh, I think this was intentional.
Well, this came out before the Nolan films.
No, I'm saying that was referencing The Dark Knight Returns.
Even the trivia on this one, it's nice that we get some scientific kind of things. It's nice, you know, but I don't know. This one isn't going to make it anywhere near the top of my list.
I think it's funny though that the guard one, guard two, like you were saying, the one says, "Get a load of the freaking Long Johns." You really haven't been in Gotham long, have you, kid? And then the other one where Dr. Blades is going, "What makes you think you can rummage through my files like you own the place?" And then Bruce is like, "Because I do, Bruce Wayne."
And he throws it right back at him. It doesn't matter. The rules apply to everyone, Mr. Wayne. I mean, it's like, The rules apply to everyone except Bruce Wayne when it comes to anything in Gotham City.
Bruce is like, I don't care about your rules. I do what I want.
This episode reminded me so, like, okay, sure, there wasn't the whole obsessive-compulsive stalking kind of thing here, but this entire episode, now that I think about it, is basically a huge ripoff of Batman Forever. As far as the motivation, like, basically, the older scientist could be Stickley, the young guy could be Nygma, you know, that kind of thing, and, you know, Bruce coming in and, you know, saying that he owns the place, and what, it's like,
I'm sure a lot of it was purposeful play on words based on other...
Yeah, probably. Alright, well, anything else you want to say about this one?
Nope, I think we'll be moving on.
Hello? Oh, it's you. Listen, I know I promised to make a payment this week, but something came up. But what if we transfer the balance to the new card, then use the old card to cover the overdraft? See? I told you we could work it out. No, wait! Let me go!
I need your help.
What are you?
I'm your mother. I was young. Younger than you are now. The police were after me. I had to run.
Why didn't you take me with you?
I couldn't. You were only a baby. But I made sure I always sent money to your guardians.
They told me my trust fund was an inheritance. I never thought I was living on stolen money.
That money put a roof over your head. You had new clothes, enough to eat. It's more than I ever had as a child.
Is that why you let them turn you into a biohazard? For money?
Yes. For money. More money than you can imagine.
Up next is Inkling. So let's see here. Depicts the reappearance of Ink after resurfacing from her last bout with Batman. Ink continues her work, sabotaging projects for big businesses. After succeeding in a job, she is betrayed by her employer and gravely wounded. In her escape, capture and eventual death, she goes to the one person she thinks she can trust, her daughter. Dun dun dun.
And the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, no.
It's a trap. No.
It's a trap. Absolutely. So, I knew that Ink was coming back because I knew we were going to get this episode. But this might be my favorite Ink episode out of all of them.
I still like the one where Bruce puts on the armor.
No, I like that one, but I'm just saying, like, this actually adds something to Ink's character other than she's Batman, well, Terry's big bad. You know, so. Let's see, what notes did I write down for this one?
No Bruce Wayne.
Bruce, this is one of the ones that Bruce wasn't in. But I do like what Terry says. He always thinks something bad's going to happen the moment he leaves town, and sometimes he's always right. The look that Terry gives Max when she says, if I do, do I get to see the Batcave? It's a look Bruce would give everyone. I mean, it just... and that her boss, Ink's boss, is such a villain, he blotted her out. Did you catch the debt counselor name?
No.
Lester Debt. So it's a nice nod to Lauren Lester. First name Lester, last name Debt, D-E-T-T, for the debt, the card, the counselor card that the repo man gives her. Deanna Clay, nice face reference. Be here all night, folks. What'd you think of this one?
Wasn't bad. I liked the fact that the twist was, you know, you have Ink being betrayed by the one person she thought she couldn't be betrayed by, which shows you again that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And then you have, Dana basically making the assumption that Bruce is the father figure for Terry, which, you know, little did they know at this time that it's Daddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad overall. I mean, it's... Ink is like the Joker for Terry.
Yeah, she kind of is.
Because, I mean, she's the one that keeps popping up.
Yeah, yeah. I do really like this episode. Like I said, I think it adds a lot to Ink's character. I mean, the fact that she has a daughter, and the daughter is, like, so different from... It's like those TV shows you see where you have these very, I don't want to say tight-wadded parents, but these parents that have high expectations of their kids. You know, you must get all A's, you must go to, you know, you must go to college, you must get a degree, you know, you must become a doctor or a lawyer, or, you know, something. And Ink, you know, Ink has done pretty well for herself, obviously, and she's, you know, saved and had a lot of money over the years for all these jobs. And her daughter is the complete opposite. Her daughter burns through money like it's no tomorrow.
Yep. Spoiled little bitch.
As far as continuity, I do like how Ink and Batman remind each other of the last time that they see each other, that they basically trade barbs that way. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, so they both have upgraded their stuff since the last time that they fought. As I mentioned earlier, Terry tells Max about the time Ink was in the Batcave. It is unclear, but we all kind of know that it is, but that the eye behind Deanna is Ink, or a figment of her imagination. However, in the subsequent episode, The Call, Part 1, as well as the episode epilogue of Justice League Unlimited, is confirmed that Ink survived while Deanna's fate is unknown. Well, yeah, I mean, I think we see Ink one more time after this. I could be wrong.
She's in The Call and epilogue.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, she's never going to go away. And I don't remember what happened to her in epilogue because I haven't...
They captured her. While.
See, that's the thing, because I was going to... When I originally wrote up my write-up for the Batman Beyond 2.0 Chapter 32, I'm like, wait, how is Ink back? And I'm like, well, Ink always comes back. So there is that.
I love the trivia for this episode.
Yeah.
This is the fifth episode out of 5 episodes from which Bruce Wayne is absent. And then Terry's record of never actually beating Ink by himself remains unblemished throughout the series. He's beaten her twice with assistance from Bruce. And she's beaten once by Deanna and once by Superman.
Yeah.
It's the one he can't stop. Terry's comment about Dana not being far off about Bruce Wayne being a father figure is more accurate than he knows, because obviously epilogue. Yeah. Which again leads you to believe that they had this planned all along.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's warning goodbye to Deanna is similar to the one he delivers to Paxton Powers, saying the main difference is that Ink is confirmed to have survived and been capable of taking revenge if she wished. Which obviously it's funny, because you never know what happens after this to her. But you know, Ink comes back.
Yep.
Deanna now appears to live a similar life to that of Daniel Mockridge in BTAS episode If You Are So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? While both became wealthy at the expense of the central villain, they would live in constant fear of their enemy returning to carry out revenge. Mm-hmm. The Repo Man is voiced by Efren Figueroa, later one of the two actors to voice Copperhead in JLU,
yep. Yeah.
And then obviously the reference we made earlier about Deanna Clay's last name being appropriate since it resembles Clayface.
Yeah.
And then Shimano's plan is very similar to Cameron Kaiser's plan in BTS, Joker's Wild.
Yeah.
Which, such a great episode.
Yeah.
And Winchell's men wear the same armor as those who serve Derek Powers.
Interesting. I mean, at this point in this timeline, Wayne Powers is, they have their hand in everything. I just wonder, with Paxton being gone and...
Wouldn't be too hard for Bruce to take the name back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, with Paxton Powers no longer in power, and with Blight having been, A-bombed, who is in charge at Wayne Powers at this point, other than Bruce?
There is no one.
Yes, apparently not.
I leave my fortune and company to Terry McGinnis. What?
Yeah. All right, we are gonna move on to the next episode.
Get your paws off her!
Hey, let me go!
Man, you picked the wrong booth. Big time?
TT!
Big time? TT?
Guys, this is Charlie Big Time Bigelow. Charlie was always scheming about how he was gonna make it big, and the name stuck.
And TT is Tiny Terry, because he was always thinking small.
Dana, you remember Charlie.
I remember who he is. Do you?
Come on, Twip. What's good to eat around here? You gonna buy me a burger or what?
Next up is Big Time, which depicts the first appearance of the villain Big Time, an old friend of Terry's. Charlie Big Time Bigelow is released from prison and meets up with him, remembering that both he and Charlie were arrested for the same crime and that his own sentence was short due to his age. Terry feels he owes his friend. Terry manages to get Charlie a job at Wayne Powers. Meanwhile, a rival company, Agrichem, is sending out hired thugs to capture a sample of the growth hormone, Cerastone. Yeah, there's a few problems with this episode. Many problems, actually, now that I think of it.
Are you talking about the chemical bath?
No. Well, yes and no.
They should have just called it Ace Chemicals instead of Agrichem.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. Terry should have already known about Cerastone since they used it in Ace in the Hole. They used it back in Season 2. So why do we need to have Bruce explain it to him again? I do think it is interesting to hear how Terry got the 3 months in juvie. I also do like the fight at the end between Batman and Charlie. Some great animation there. Like I said, it's nice to see, more of Terry's past since this is really his show. But, this one's not... I enjoyed this better than Untouchable, but not better than Inkling. Thoughts?
I don't like this episode.
Okay, then. Alright. So, let's see here. For production inconsistencies, the claws that Kuros equips reappear in his abdomen. The next shot, all subsequent shots where he's using them. For trivia, we've got Charlie was wearing a glove on his right arm when he was exposed to the Cerastone, which explains why that arm did not swell up when he mutated into Big Time like his left one did. For voice cast, we have William H. Macy as Kuros. We have Robert Patrick as Richard Armacost. And we have one of the Baldwin brothers, Stephen Baldwin, as Charlie Big Time Bigelow. Big Time, it was alright. Like I said, I liked seeing more of Terry's past. I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, this is the first time we actually found out what happened, how he got the 3 months in juvie, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool in that respect.
It's funny, though, when he becomes big time, It's Clancy Brown.
Yep. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huh. All right, we are going to move on to the last episode of the day after this.
You always were the perfect specimen, Detective. Even old age has not softened you as much as I had feared.
I should have known you'd cheat death again, Raish.
I don't cheat death, I master it. Though I assure you, this time my longevity comes at a price, most dear.
Talia.
I did indeed survive our last battle, but my body was broken far beyond the pit's powers to heal. In order to save my life, I called upon Talia to undertake the ultimate act of loyalty.
You sacrificed her. Your own daughter.
I did what I had to do. At the time, this computer could only imprint my thoughts and memories on a close genetic match. But now, this youthful form has served its purpose. I must move on to a new host body. Yours.
Sure, Raish, why not? Anything to hold off the Grim Reaper another few seconds. I take it back. You don't cheat death. You whimper in fear of it.
Silence!
And you hit like a girl.
Last up is... Out of the Past. Well, at this time, when Bruce Wayne is feeling not so chipper in his old age, a woman from his past appears and offers him the chance to regain his youth.
Yep. The play is just so great. It really, really is.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, the superstitious and cowardly part.
Yeah. Obviously, they did that on purpose, but so good. So very, very good. I was trying to see if... No. I was trying to see if they got Bob Hastings to come back. Bob Hastings, may he rest in peace, was the voice of Commissioner Gordon. Sadly, they did not. But the singers in this, Adrienne Barbeau is one. Adrienne Barbeau is Catwoman from BTAS. BJ Ward is also one of the backup singers. So that's interesting. I mean, obviously, Out of the Past is probably one of the most creepiest episodes of Batman Beyond. I like how they transition from the play to the softer music and Bruce reflecting on his life. And then, bam, Talia shows up out of the blue with food that he just can't eat anymore.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just assumed.
Yeah. Bruce driving. Now, there's something you don't see every day. When we eventually get to them being on the island, and after Bruce goes through the Lazarus Pit, the 1-2 punch of Bruce Wayne and Terry McGinnis, that was awesome. Just seeing the two of them fight together, that was great. I love that. Lady, you're creeping me out. You, she kissed me. what did you think about this one?
It was nice seeing a more Bruce episode.
Mm-hmm.
I liked seeing Talia and Raish, and then a reference to, you know, the olden days, and then seeing Bruce actually take a dive in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a little bit of Raish's gray in there.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. You know, was intentional, obviously. But I just enjoyed seeing Bruce back in his element.
Absolutely.
And Terry's almost like, oh shit. Because it's like, he's going to become Batman again. What'll happen to me? I don't want to be a Robin. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, it was great just seeing them, you know, figure it out and then run away. And he basically is, you know, like, this is wrong. This should mm-hmm. never happen. This is wrong. And kind of denies himself the ability to be young again.
Yep.
Which, you know, you can kind of get. He's like, I've been young. I'm done. And then they, you know, of course, at the end show him when he's, you know, older again, just by a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll be back to normal within a week. Although it would have been interesting to see him go take the dive, like the 3-4 times to get it permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of live younger.
Yeah.
That would just be kind of creepy, though.
Yeah, it's all very creepy, especially that, you know, Raish has Talia's vocal cords and...
Well, the fact that Raish put himself in Talia's body.
Yeah.
Which begs to wonder, you know, I mean, I know that she would have done anything that he asked, but it's just creepy. Why would you want to go inside your daughter? That's just weird. Raish is like, I will not die. I will wait for Wayne because he doesn't die. Mm. It also begs you to wonder what happened to him.
What you mean? What happened to Raish?
Yeah.
Well, they explained it. He transferred his mind into her body. It's like what the computer dude wanted to do in Lost Soul. Where he wanted to put his mind in his grandson. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Overall, this episode was great. The music all came together. The animation was flawless. Absolutely love it.
Yep, definitely a very awesome episode. I was kind of blown away when I saw this episode just because of all the nostalgia kind of coming back from the old show. It's funny when throughout the episode, just some of the trivia parts, Terry, you know, saying, ah, Raz, and Talia's like, it should be pronounced Raish.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they should have her tell that to all of the DC people now, especially Nolan.
Well, in animation, it's still pronounced Raish.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, no, but Beware the Batman, because I've caught up with that. They do say Ra's.
Well, and Under the Red Hood, it's pronounced Raish.
Yes, true.
Any of the true Batman series pronounce it Raish.
Yes, exactly.
It is funny, though, that Bruce morphs his voice to be younger.
I mean, I like... Well, it's not him. I mean, he's de-aging. So, of course, Kevin's going to use the regular Bruce voice.
The not-as-gruff Bruce voice.
I like it, though. I thought it was pretty cool that they were able to do that. To, you know, to actually hear Bruce and Terry, you know, Bruce is almost at his peak, and Terry obviously being Terry. I thought that was really cool.
It's funny Will Friedle said this is one of his favorite episodes because he got the opportunity to hear the voice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Too many pieces of awesome not to love this episode.
Yep, pretty much.
I do love this quote, though, where Raish is talking. He says, you were always the perfect specimen, detective. Even old age has not softened you as much as I had feared. Bruce, I should have known you'd cheat death again, Raish. I don't cheat death, I master it. Though I assure you, this time my longevity comes at a price most dear.
I mean, he almost got what he wanted back, you know, from way back when in Batman the Animated Series. I mean, if you think about it, Raish has been trying to do this since then.
Oh, I know.
And if Batman Beyond's timeline is somewhere, you know, 2039 and 2041, 2045, oh my god.
I do think this one quote's hilarious. Sure, Raish, why not? Anything to hold off the Grim Reaper a few more seconds. I take it back, you don't cheat death, you whimper in fear of it. Silence! And you hit like a girl.
Yep.
His sarcasm comes out.
Absolutely.
I love the Kevin Conroy, Bruce Wayne, Batman sarcasm. It's awesome.
Absolutely. We are 26 years away from being in the Batman Beyond timeline in real life.
Yay!
But yeah, no. Everything about this episode was fantastic, and just the reveal of Raish and having David Warner's voice come out of the female cartoon body of Talia—that's just creepy.
It's an animation. Anything can happen.
Yes. Yes, it can. All right. I think that's going to do it for this one.
I think so, too. So, what are your top five? Or top four? Since we didn't do five this episode.
Well, we couldn't do five this episode. I'm going to put... I'm going to put Untouchable at the bottom, followed by Big Time, followed by Inkling, and then Out of the Past as number one.
I'm going to put Big Time at the bottom.
Okay.
Followed by Untouchable, Inkling, and Out of the Past is my number one.
Obviously.
Yes. I would almost argue this is my favorite episode. It's one of my favorite episodes of the series.
Oh, absolutely.
In my top five easily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So.
All right. I think before... I think we're going to have to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and... let you guys know what's going to kind of be coming up for the end of the podcast here on Legends of the Dark Knight. We'll be back after this.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host Toon Master Tim. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game like Fact or Fiction or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy? Who will win in a fight? Taking too far? Crazy but true news? Or
yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions. Every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
All right, so we are back here on Legends of the Dark Knight, coming up for the final four episodes of the podcast. We have all final five episodes of the podcast. We have episode 36 is going to be Speak No Evil in the Call, parts 1 and 2. Episode 37, Betrayal will also be in episode 36. And then episode 37 starts with The Curse of the Cobra, parts 1 and part 2, then Countdown and Unmasked. Episode 38 will be the Batman Beyond Return of the Joker commentary, along with the discussion on the JLU episode epilogue. Episode 39 is going to be our top 20 favorite BTAS and Batman Beyond episodes. And then episode 40 is the final episode of the show.
Sad but true.
Yep. Anything else you want to say, sir?
Only that. It was a fun ride. But yeah, there's not that many episodes left. And hopefully you enjoy the remainder of it.
Yep.
So, until next time, I am forgetting my lines, goddammit. I am Vengeance. You've
turned into a monster.
I am Batman.
Dude, you've turned into a monster.
You made me this way.
This computer will finally still that insolent tongue. I've refined it so I no longer need a genetic match. Your brainwaves will be purged as mine are implanted in their place. I shall return to Gotham in your stead, bringing with me proof, both written and genetic, that I am the long-forgotten son of Bruce Wayne and Talia. How ironic that your company and holdings will fund my new empire.
No!
Lady, that is the sickest thing I've ever seen. You're creeping me out.
You? She kissed me.